to the rock on which I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against her. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. You heard the commandment imposed on your forefathers. You shall not commit murder. Every murderer will be liable to judgment. What I say to you is, everyone who grows angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. You heard the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What I say to you is, anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his thoughts. You have heard the commandment imposed on your forefathers. You shall not take a false oath. Rather, make good to the Lord all your pledges. What I tell you is, do not swear at all. Say yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The gospel we've just read from St. Matthew is part of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. As we know, there are two levels to God's revelation to the human race. What we call the Old Testament and what we call the New. In the Old Testament, the summary of God's will for the human race is contained in the Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai. In the New Testament, the summary of Christ's teaching for his followers is found in the Sermon on the Mount. Mount in one case, Sinai, mountain, and the other case, where Christ gave us the New Testament. In today's Gospel, we have three examples of how Jesus raised the morality of the old law to heights never known, indeed never possible before. What did Christ do? First, he recalled the Old Testament commandment. You shall not commit murder. Christ elevated the fifth commandment of the old law by saying, but I tell you, anyone who grows even angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. In other words, what did Christ do? Of course, we are not to do bodily injury to other people. Of course, we are forbidden to take the life of an innocent human being. Of course, murder is a crime. But Christ tells us we can't commit murder in two ways. We can't commit murder by taking the human life, the bodily life, of a human being. We can also commit murder interiorly, in the depths of our hearts, by our uncontrolled anger. We might ask, why did Christ not only forbid what was forbidden already in the old law, not only forbid doing bodily injury or killing an innocent human being, why did Christ forbid even, watch this, the first rise of uncontrolled, unjust anger? Why? Because God became man that he might give us the grace that only God can confer to control not only our external actions, to control down, deep down, even our internal thoughts and desires. We casually, without a second thought, speak of living a spiritual life. What are we saying? Our lives as Christians are to be down deep in the human spirit. We are not only to behave externally, we are to behave internally. Second example that Christ gave of elevating the Old Testament. It was a commandment he told his listeners, you should not commit adultery. In essence, adultery in the Old Testament was a sin against justice. In other words, adultery meant stealing another person's spouse. What did Christ say? But I tell you that anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And like our present Holy Father's commentary on the statement of Christ, on one occasion said Pope John Paul II, this refers not only to men not looking lustfully at women. Thanks, Holy Father, thanks. This means also women not looking lustfully at men. Thanks, Your Holiness, thanks, to set the record straight. What was our Lord doing? As with the fifth commandment, so with the sixth. Not only are we forbidden, and the Old Testament forbade robbing a married person of his or her spouse, but down deep in the human mind and will, we must is a divine imperative. We must master even our spontaneously lustful thoughts and desires. In other words, chastity in the new law means not only chastity in body, it means chastity in spirit or soul. Where do we begin? Where do we begin to make it clear that nobody is a follower of Christ except a hypocrite who is not living a chaste life, and chaste not only in body but chaste also in mind and heart. We're living in the most lustful century of human history, and we repeat, we are living in the most lustful century of human history. How it pains me to say this, but I think I should. The last issue of the Varsity News of the University of Detroit, where I live, had a full page description on the use of condoms. My God, my dear loving God, to live a chaste life in today's sex mad world takes, and I mean every syllable, takes heroic virtue. And I mean heroic. Third way that our Lord elevated the Old Testament. You have heard the commandment imposed on your forefathers. Do not take a false oath. What I tell you is, do not swear at all. There are occasions when an oath is justified. What is Christ telling us? He wants his followers to always, what a humanly impossible adverb, he wants his followers to always, always tell only the truth. As I said, with chastity, so now I can speak about the commandment not to tell a lie. We are living in the most mendacious century of human history. To use a more familiar word, we are living in the most lying century of human history. As by now I've told so many audiences, quoting the philosopher of the media, Marshall McLuhan, the modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. You don't find the truth in the Detroit News. You don't. You don't find the truth in the Detroit Free Press. You don't find the truth in the New York Times. You don't find the truth in the Chicago Tribune. You just don't. I repeat, you do not find the truth in most of our modern media. I'd like to close with a strong exhortation. In the name of the triune God, protect yourselves from a lying world by not exposing your eyes and your ears to what the modern media have done to millions in our own country of our fellow Americans. A season of Lent is soon upon us. And there is one mortification I plead with you in the name of our Lord hanging on the cross. Begin this Lent and continue to for the rest of your lives to mortify. That's mortification. Mortify your eyes and your ears in the use of the media. Otherwise, I do not hesitate to say, you will not only pervert your minds and wills, you endanger your eternal salvation. Lord Jesus, you have elevated the Ten Commandments beyond a height ever dreamed of, ever conceivable before you came into the world to live out your moral teaching. Dear Jesus, is not only hard, it is humanly impossible. We need, how desperately we need your light. How badly we need your strength. So that, following your humanly impossible moral teaching here on earth, we may enjoy your company and that of your mother and your angels and saints in heaven through all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and after it he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread." Jesus replied, "Scripture has it, not on bread alone does man live, but on every utterance that comes from the mouth of God." Next the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the parapet of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Scripture has it, He will bid his angels take care of you with their hands. He will support you that you may never stumble on a stone. He has answered him, Scripture has it, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil then took him up in a lofty mountain peak and displayed before him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence, promising, all these will I bestow on you if you prostrate yourself in homage before me. At this Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan. Scripture has, You shall do homage to the Lord your God. Him alone shall you adore. At that, the devil left him, and angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to the Lord Jesus Christ.
It is certainly not coincidental that the first gospel for the first Sunday of Lent should be on Christ being tempted by the devil. There is how it all got started. As we believe, God originally created intelligent beings called angels. They were not originally in heaven. They were very happy, but on probation, led by Lucifer. They refused to serve God. We don't know how many angels refused to serve God and were cast into hell. But some of the fathers of the church tell us, as many angels fell, as God will create human beings until the end of time to replace the fallen angels. I would like to ask three questions. Who is the devil? Why do devils exist? And how are we to cope with the evil spirit? Who is the devil? The devil is, in singular, one name, but his number, as we know, is beyond counting. Myriads of devils. In biblical language, the number is legion. Who then are the devils? Among the heresies condemned by the church, one called Manichaeism. This heresy claimed that originally, from the very beginning, there were two gods, a good God and, dare we say it, an evil God. All the polytheistic religions of the world, and there were hundreds of millions of polytheists in the world, they all believe in what he would call the devils, what they call evil deities. All of them, no exception. But we believe the devils are creatures. They are not only evil, they are malevolent. They are the good angels who refused to serve God. How we need to deepen our faith in the existence of the evil spirits who are the devils. They are those intelligent beings, superbly intelligent, who, having a free will and originally created in faith, refused to accept the sovereignty of God and submit their wills to their Creator. How this should teach us there are devils. We call them pure spirits because they have no body, who became demons because they refused to submit their created wills to the will of God. But by now, in the language of all nations, the word devil has come to apply not only to the fallen angels in that broad sense. Who are the devils? The devils are all those who refuse to submit their wills to the will of God. I never thought I'd quote this statement of Padre Pio, speaking of priests in our century. Every priest, said Padre Pio, is either a saint or a devil. You are the devils. First, the fallen angels. You are the devils. Every person who refuses to submit his will to the will of God. Why did God allow so many of the angels to refuse to serve him and become devils? There was a theological counterpart between the good angels on one side and the bad angels or the demons on the other. The good angels are constantly worshiping and adoring God. And their mission, which is what angel means, a messenger, their mission is to serve human beings, to help us reach that heavenly destiny which they possess. Do we call it a mission? Why did God allow the devils to come into being? So that we human beings may know how we need to learn this, that we've been given a free will for one purpose, to submit our freedom to the will of God. Why do the devils exist? To teach us. How much St. Ignatius makes of this in his spiritual exercises. The fallen angels were thrown into hell for one sin, and here I have so often offended God. Sure, God is loving. Sure, God is merciful. But let's not forget, God is also just. You don't disobey God with impunity. You pay for it. And the devils, for all eternity, are meant to be a sign of the consequence of refusing to obey God. But that's not all. Why, in God's mysterious providence, do the devils exist? So they might be permitted to tempt human beings. Christ began his public ministry, as we've just read, by allowing himself to be tempted by the devil. If the all-holy God become man, was tempted by the devil, my friends, my dear friends in Christ, we are all, every one of us, constantly being tempted by the devil. All of us, question mark, all of us, exclamation mark. And the more seriously we are trying to serve God, the more eager, shall I use that word, is the devil to seduce us. Finally, how are we to cope with the devil? Remember, the devil, that's a generic singular for a vast multitude of evil spirits. Because, as we believe, the devils are part of God's providence, we better know how we are to deal with the devil. First, by deepening our faith. Faith in the deepest mystery on earth. The deepest mystery in heaven is the Holy Trinity. The deepest mystery on earth is disobedient, rebellious human liberty. And we're going to cope with the evil spirit. We better believe that creatures have a free will. A free will not only to choose what is good or pleasing or more pleasing to God. Human beings have the incomprehensible, and that's the correct theological word. Human beings have the incomprehensible power of rejecting the will of God. And that is what the devils are trying to do. Remember what Christ told us about who are his followers? You are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, the saints have found a name for those who are disciples of the devil. Even as Christ says, "You are my disciples if you have love for one another." So the devil says, "You are my disciples if you envy one another as I have envied you." That's how sin began in the human race, to the envy of the devil. I'm asking, O Lord, to enlighten me, to make sure I should say what I want to say next. I think he wants me to. The devil, having rebelled against God, envied God, his perfect happiness. So what did the evil spirit do? He was allowed by God to envy us human beings. And how did the devil begin? That's why I asked, "Oh Lord, enlighten me, should I say it?" He began with a woman. Oh, the power, dear God, the power that God will give women who obey him. What power, what channels of grace God wants women to be. On one condition, that like Mary, they say it and they mean it. "Behold, the handmaid, the humble servant of the Lord." However, the devil knows. He was guessing at the dawn of the human race. He no longer has to guess now. He knows. How are we to cope with the evil spirit? First, speaking to you women, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, beg him to give you the humble, simple, childlike humility of his own mother. What the world, not only the church, what the world most needs is loving, humble, selfless women. And what is man's responsibility, now masculine gender, to recognize that women are to be loved. Some years ago, giving a conference to the missionaries of charity, I said, "I have 10 ways in which men are to behave towards women. Each one begins with an A." We never have this here, did we, in Ann Arbor? I can't remember all 10. I'll bring them the next time. Women are what men under God help them to be. How are we to cope with the evil spirit? First, as women, not to be deceived by the evil spirit. Pray for light, to recognize the devil. In a nation vocabulary, pray for discernment of spirits. And for men, pray for the light in knowing how to deal with the women in your lives. When I get my mail around 11 o'clock at the university, I don't even have to look at the envelope, whom it's from. If it's so thin, I wonder if there's anything in it. It's from some man. If it's so thick it has extra postage, it must be from a woman. Look, you men, that's the way God made them. Listen to them. That doesn't mean just being around. Listen to them. Listen to them with the love that can distinguish between what is a woman's imagination and what is the will of God. Lord Jesus, you allowed yourself to be tempted by the evil spirit to teach us that we are all being constantly tempted by the father of lies, the father of evil, and the father of death. Give us the light we need to recognize the evil spirit when he's seducing us. Give us above all the courage to tell the devil what you told the devil when you were tempted. Be gone, Satan. Go back where you came from. Lord Jesus, we are meant to enjoy your company through all eternity with the good angels. Protect us, dear Lord, from allowing us to be seduced by the evil spirit, so that serving you with humble obedience in this life, we might enjoy your presence and the company of the obedient angels for all eternity.